Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anahuacis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginalii Tahiju Toigu, which means, hello cousins, I'm fine, how are you? This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation.
If there were ETs coming here in ancient times, they seem to have lost interest in us. Until 1947. Then, suddenly, around the world, people of all kinds began to report seeing them in the skies above. Some claim to have photographed them. In the United States, the government dismissed the phenomenon. They described the mysterious objects as weather balloons, hoaxes, swamp gas, and other scientific anomalies.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Project White Paper. This is Michael Rambacher, along with the wonderfully beautiful Chase Kletsky. And Jamie's back at the switches again.
Yes,
hey, Jamie. I'm glad. I hope you had a wonderful holiday, and that's going to be absolutely something for you to remember, I'm sure. You didn't have to push the switches. Tonight, everybody, I think you're going to have to not only fasten your seatbelts, you're going to have to hang on to the seats that you're belted into, because we're going to take a trip through the centuries, actually the millenniums, to bring us to where we're going to be next year in 2012. This is going to be one of those shows. It's going to be knock your socks off, and there's no such thing as a dumb question tonight. I guarantee you, no such thing as a dumb question. So with that, I'm going to let Chase introduce our incredible guest that we're having on tonight. And I'm not even mentioning his name. I'm letting you
know. We have been excited for quite some time, and contacting this guest and him accepting our invitation was, just a throw for Michael and I. But this is usually the part in the show where I tell a little something about our guest and reveal a bio. But tonight it's only going to be a little different because Michael and I are seriously humbled and honored to introduce our very special guest and feel that only he himself can properly give us the background on his life and his pursuits. So without further delay, everybody, I would like to bring in Will Bluewater and welcome him personally to Project White Paper and Inception Radio Network. Hi, Will. How are you?
Osiono oginali'i, tuhiju, tuhigu, which in Cherokee means hello, cousins. I'm fine. How are you?
We are great. Thank you so much for accepting our invitation. We're thrilled.
Well, it's an honor. I appreciate being invited.
Well, can you tell us just a little something about your background and kind of introduce yourself a little to our audience?
Well, I suppose everybody would like to know how I got involved with this. In 1970, I was given my Cherokee genealogy by my a cousin of my great uncle, and didn't do much about it at that time. In 1984, an Indian man an Indian man sitting in a low table across from me. I didn't know who he was. He just had a round pockmarked face, he simply asked me, "What are you going to do something about Gardner Green's genealogy?" Well, he had a white stone hanging around his neck on a gold chain. His name was written in the stone, but I wasn't allowed to remember his name until at all. And there was a gold key embedded in the stone. And I didn't realize who he was until 1996, until after I had started to finish something that he started. He passed away in 1985, and I guess it was 1985 when I saw him, but I had no idea who he was until 1996. But he was I was always interested in prophecy, and my mom was kind of a prophecy buff, and she had if you were to ask my dad, he would tell you that that she had great intuition, which he counted on all his life. And but I just kind of started collecting prophecies, and when the before I got on the internet, I published a 16-page back and front newsletter of all the prophecies I could get a hold of. I was living in Moab, Utah at the time. And I just copied it and gave it out to people. And within 6 months, I just said, "Hey, this is free. If you want to make copies of it, feel free." Within 6 months, I got a letter from Australia. Somebody wanted to know more. And I also got a letter from, you'll never believe it, Dr. Leo Sprinkle wrote me a letter asking for more. He's the mainstream psychologist at the University of Wyoming that people know about and investigating UFO abductions. And I've had a lot of UFO experiences, different kinds, and that's kind of where I got started. In 1996, I started gathering up all the prophecies, and I put them up online, and that's gone through two or three reincarnations, and that website right now is at NativeAmericanProphecy.com. It used to be known as Wovoka.com. But anyway, and then 2003, I guess it was, or at the behest of John Red Hat, who's a Cherokee elder. He was enrolled both in the United Ketuba Band and the Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma. He suggested that I do a podcast, and I guess between that time and maybe 2008, I did about 110 interviews of elders and apprentices of different elders from different spiritual traditions from all over the world. And I also published four e-books, two of which were prophecy encyclopedias. One was from the Eastern Hemisphere, one was from the Western Hemisphere. So that's kind of what I'm all about.
Wow.
My background, my dad's dad was born in Sweden. His mother was born in what is now Poland, and it's Prussia then, but my mother's people, mother's people were Cherokee, or mother's father's people were Cherokee, and my mother's people were Powhatan Cherokee. So I'm a descendant of Motoaka, who people know as Pocahontas, through one line, and I'm a descendant of Savanuka, who was the raven of Choate. He was the war chief and speaker of the Cherokee Nation. And had he lived through the Revolutionary War, because the Chickamauga Cherokees declared war on the United States in 1776, sided with the British. But had he lived, he would have become, he would have inherited the seat of the Cherokee Nation, would have been the Uka of the, there are actually three Cherokee Nations, the North, Middle, and Southern Cherokee Nations.
Wow.
And that man, Savanuka, was the carrier of the Ark. The Cherokees had an Ark, had sacred records in it. And that ark was stolen from us by the Lenape. We understand that they were carried up into Canada, and they're prophesied to return someday.
Hmm.
But that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Well, that the real nutshell has got to be the size of Colorado, I think.
it got to be. Let's put it this way: it got to be a big subject. I thought it was real cute when I first started, because it had a lot of this corresponded with the death of my first wife, and I started asking for answers to prayer, I think about 1990, and started getting them, the further along we go, the more I realize it's much more of a burden than it is something that's real cute, if you know what I mean. And I discovered what some people say, sometimes this thing is kind of a curse, because it kind of puts a burden on you, and also gives you a real bad name, because anybody that's involved with the prophecies gets slandered, and including Mad Bear Anderson, and this kind of goes along with the territory. Red Elk and my other friends, and all of them have been roundly slandered and libeled, but part of the territory.
Yeah, I you mentioned Mad Bear Anderson. It was phenomenal that, I mean, Chase, when I mentioned that to her on an email, she wrote back, she says, I should be surprised, but I'm not surprised. I actually stood at the man's grave and went through the land that he lived on. I actually did a piece at his house that was actually burned from underneath him. And was in a sweat lodge, and stood in the woods where he used to teach. It was just absolutely phenomenal when I read that you had that connection with that man, and I did this for a series, The Legend Hunters, back in 2006. It's called Myths of the Iroquois. But, you know, what we're going to do tonight, everybody, is I'm going to turn this over, and we're going to start at Pope John Paul, because that's going to be the kicker, and then we're going to go with Joseph Smith. Now, everybody out there should be familiar with those names. One, obviously, was the Pope of the Catholic Church, and the other one is the originator of the Mormon religion, and how this all relates to 2012. And we're going to take a trip through the millennium to the Iroquois elders, the Cherokees, obviously, the Phoenicians, the Egyptians, the Sumerians, all of those, briefly, those ancient civilizations, all coming up with the same scenario. And then we're really going to dig into what everybody knows, and everybody's seen the shows on the History Channel and everywhere else on the Mayan calendar, and what the Hopis really knew, the Hopi Indians. It's going to be an amazing trip for everybody, so just hang on, and we're going to get started with this right now. And I guess we're going to start off with the segment with Pope John Paul. And this actually goes back to the era of the First World War, and we go to Fatima, to where the kids at Fatima actually had the vision, or were visited by the Virgin Mary, and she committed three secrets to the kids, and they were given to the church, and they were not to be opened until a specific date. And John Paul was the reigning pope, but the only problem with that was only really publicly two of the secrets were exposed. And I think Will is going to go through the third one and how that all came and how that really leads to where we're going in the 2012 thing. Go ahead, Will.
Well, I always knew somehow, you know, the Bible says surely, you know, God speaking says, surely I'll do nothing without revealing it to my servants, the prophets. And, you know, we know the white Europeans know he works in mysterious ways. And so I figured, you know, if some story were out there, more than one person would be telling them. And I knew, you know, what different elders of different traditions had said, but I believe it was back in 1986. There was a group of very faithful Catholics that kind of buttonholed Pope John Paul II about the third secret of Fatima. And basically, and I'll just paraphrase, and it's on the front page of my website at prophecykeepers.com, he just said, well, if I were to tell you that millions would die in the blink of an eye, and entire continents would be overswept by sheets of ice and ocean waves, that wouldn't be something so much to be desired.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Before he passed away in 1985, Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends, and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something. And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all 145 past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. We had a very close call at the end of last month. We almost didn't raise the funds that we needed to stay here on Blog Talk Radio. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look, Nation. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Hi, friends. This is Will Blue Otter. I have a message here from 1975 from John Wayne. It comes right out of today's headlines. So you Indian folks who are following the progressive trend in politics, you're following the people that supported slavery. You're following the people that have enslaved you ever since the Civil War. Listen to John Wayne.
You know, it's a funny thing, the Indians now. This AIM group have started something that now they're against me for some reason. But I am the only man in pictures that always gave them their human dignity. I never was in a picture. I never allowed myself at any time to do anything that would take their human dignity away from them. And that, to me, is the most important thing in a man. I have found that a certain type that calls himself a liberal, I always thought I was a liberal. I came up terribly surprised one time when I found that I was a right-wing conservative extremist. When I have listened to everybody's point of view that I ever met, and then decide how I should feel. I mean, but this so-called new liberal group, Jesus, they never listen to your point of view, and they make a decision as to what you think, and they're articulate enough and in control of enough of the press to force that image out for the average person. For some reason, maybe it's these pictures, they have not been able to do that with me. In spite of what they say, people have not taken sides that I'm it hasn't affected my career in popularity, let's say. In spite of the fact that they've tried to make it do it. There isn't a hell of a lot that we can do to change human behavior. We keep making laws to try and change human behavior. You can't do it. I think you can accept it and feel how you would feel in that position. You're being conned into Keynesianism and socialism now. But it isn't going to stop the selfishness of human behavior. It isn't going to stop the greed. If you take $20 and give a dollar to every son of a bitch in a room and come back a year later, one of the bastards will have most of the money. I mean, it's just human nature, and you're not gonna whip it with a lot of laws. I think when you make people conscious, as communication gets better, and you make people conscious of somebody in trouble, starving or something like that, the average person will help. But of course, now they've got so damn many charities, and there's so much professionalism. You know, there's, if you have a charity, you hire some professionals to work up the charity. By the time you get the money, you get $4 for the recipient and $400 for the administrators. So, I mean, Christ, I think there are people who try to affect a thinking where they know more than some other son of a bitch and try to put a false impression on what human nature is. Christ sakes, we have proven that we go back to hope at the first opportunity. Just throw out a little fish and bam, they're out there ready to grab it. So we are optimistic. We have to be optimistic. Christ, what else would there be in life if you lose optimism?
In ocean waves, that wouldn't be something so much to be desired. And if you saw, you know, the movie 2012, that's kind of the idea of what you saw. And now, Cardinal Ratzinger concurred with this later on. Now, this information came. There's also information that came through Catholic mystics that had something to do with a mysterious star. And this is what the Hopi elders said, you know, going back to Hale Bopp. My friend, the late Dr. Robert Ghostwell, published in one of his books that the Hopi elders had said that 7 years from the time Hale Bopp disappeared, that scientists would discover a star, and they said it would take a telescope to find it. But they called this star Susquehanna, and I have no idea whether I'm pronouncing it correctly, but I didn't even know about that prophecy until about the time I started working with Ghost Wolf on Prophecy Keepers Radio. And I didn't know about it until the seven-year period was over, which was in early 2003. And so I thought, wow, well, this is really interesting. So I got on the NASA website and discovered that the 2 weeks previous to my looking into it, that a small dwarf, red dwarf star had been discovered 5 light years from Earth, and they weren't even looking for it. And I thought, wow, that's really interesting. And, of course, there was that year there was a spate of tornado action all over the country. And there's just so much of a coincidence between what the Hopi were saying and what the Catholics and others were saying specifically about a mysterious star and flooding all over the country. Now most people that are raised in the Christian tradition will say, oh, well, you know, God's never going to use flood to destroy the world. Well, that's not what it says in Genesis. What it says is God will never again use flood to destroy all life. So I have to kind of get into argument with Christians about that, because that the tradition is that, you know, it won't be, you know, we're not going to have any more floods. But if you're familiar with the Sumerian tradition, you'll know that might kind of ring true, because supposedly we encountered some kind of a planet that we had several encounters with, and the asteroid belt is the remnants of, I believe, half of our planet, and eventually water was thrown onto the planet. And so apparently it's something cyclical that happens, and Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And and then when the movie 2012 came out, before that, I think going back to 2006, I believe, I contacted Patrick Jarrell. He had just recently put up howtosurvive2012.com, and in email conversations with him, he indicated that he had kind of started with things, some of the things that I put up on the web, and he had gone with boots on the ground and spoken to indigenous elders in Africa and other places, and they showed, physically took him and showed him just how high the water reached and it would have reached the equivalent of about 6,000 feet in altitude. And the Hopi had always said, well, they said, we're going to be flooded out all the way up to Third Mesa. Some of them were even building boats, and they said when this happened, they were going to have to get on these boats and go to the Four Corners area and start over again. And at that time, Patrick Jarrell, who has been seen on, I guess they were planning a refuge in the Drakensberg Mountains in South Africa, and from what I've seen on TV, they abandoned that idea, and they're looking on the Iberian Peninsula somewhere up in the mountains in Spain,
right,
in an undisclosed location. But right. That's kind of the story. But I emailed him. I told him. I said, I said the Hopi have said that if you're going to need to be inside the Four Sacred Mountain area, and when you draw a line between the Sacred Mountain of the West, which is near this is San Francisco Peaks near Flagstaff, and Sacred Mountain of the North and South are in southwest Colorado and northwest Utah, and Sacred Mountain of the East is Mont Blanc and near Alamosa. That area is a high elevation, and I lived in the San Luis Valley for a year. The valley floor is about 7,700 feet, and it's protected by four mountain passes, and they're all over 10,000 feet. And that area has always been known to be a sacred area. No one ever went to war there. A lot of UFO activity there, and supposedly that is one of the places where Sipapu might have been, which is the place of the Hopi place of emergence, the place that they went to be protected by the ant people during the last four times, I guess it was, that the Earth's been turned over.
Ah, so that's what we're calling next year is the turning over of the Earth.
I interviewed Humboldt's men, and Carlos Barrios talked about the subject, and their attitude was, well, you know, guys like Johan Kalaman and others, you know, they know a few of our glyphs, and they write a lot on the subject, but they said their attitude was that there's nothing written in stone about the date. They said it could happen 15 years, earlier or later. It's just that they know something's going to happen. They just didn't know exactly what. But the final glyph is a vase of water being poured out. So it has something to do with water or Age of Aquarius or flooding of some kind. That's another hint.
Well, here's my take. We know that the scientists have proven that, here I'm jumping a bit, but we're going to the Mayan stuff, that their calendar ends on December 21st next year. We all know that. That's a proven fact. The problem is that goes along with all of that is that we have an alignment coming up, and we're going through the center of the galaxy at that point. Also at the same time, and as much as the scientists don't want to create any uproar by going out there and saying, now this is what's going to happen, I think a lot of them know that we have a liquid core Earth, so it is very susceptible to changes that go on outside the environment. And if we pass through that side and go to the other side of the universe, then technically speaking, the way that I saw it, where here in the United States, all of our weather goes west to east, everything will obviously switch around and go east to west, and the southern hemisphere will switch around and go west to east instead of east to west. And I don't even want to go into the poles flipping around, but that only makes a scientific sense because the pole is going to change.
Well,
you're going to be... Go ahead.
Yeah, the Bible indicates, Elijah indicates that at one time the Earth changed its rotation, that the sun originally rose in the west. And the Hopi say that that our rotation originally was counterclockwise, and the Hopi, the Cherokee, and the Aztec all dance counterclockwise. Old ones believed that anyone that danced clockwise was being contrary, even to the point of even calling them witches. And this is the direction that the ghost dance was danced in. And the ghost dance was taught to the cast and crew of the movie Billy Jack by Andy Vidovich, who was Wovoka's son-in-law and married another descendant of Wovoka. And you can go to originalghostdance.com and you can actually see the way it was danced. It's a spiral dance. And a friend of mine, Robert Three Eagles, told me that if that dance, he's familiar with physics, and he says if that dance was danced with the center of it on a small hill, the people on the outside, lower in elevation, the people on the inside of the dance, it would actually send an impulse of energy into outer space, which is kind of interesting.
Whoa.
But yeah, the Hopi elders say that our rotation will go back to what it was originally, which is counterclockwise.
Well, the science is already showing too that the sun.
Go ahead, Chase.
Okay. Scientists have proven that the sun and the earth are losing magnetic fields as the earth rotation slows and base resonant frequency is increasing. I mean, that just, there's just no two ways about it.
Yeah,
period.
The shooting frequency. Yep.
Exactly. That's the thing. I know that, you know, the American Indians, thank goodness, but have really saved a lot of their traditions. And a lot of the stories come down in an oral form. But there was a man who, you know, claimed that, you know, he saw a vision and an angel visited him named Moroni. And Moroni claimed to be from Pleiades. And, you know, of course, I'm talking about Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon religion. And he had I want to say peculiar almost, because it was such a genuine love and a true fondness for Native Americans. And I know they shared a lot of information back and forth. Is there any correlation between some of this? Because the Mormons also, back in the early 1800s, named, you know, a planet that's the closest to where God lives. It's called Kola.
I mean, there's,
yes, and the
absolutely, yeah. Well, there's a prophecy that the Pleiades will at some point return to its original configuration of a six-pointed star. But Joseph Smith was, and he wasn't the only one, but he was influenced by a man by the name of Mordecai Noach, N-O-A-C-H, who was he was a captain of militia and a very politically influential man in Tammany Hall in New York City. Noach was a Jew, and he published plans for the establishment of a colony in the St. Lawrence Seaway, and he was going to call it Ararat, as I recall, and he wanted it as a homeland for Jews and Native Americans because he was convinced that they were related. And he wrote a couple of theses on the subject, and I've done a voiceover of one of them. But he released that information 5 years before Joseph Smith even started talking about it. Joseph Smith lived within 5 or 10 miles of the place where Handsome Lake, who's the author of The Good News of Religion, had his vision. He was in a coma for several weeks or months, I can't remember. But I believe he was influenced by those stories. If not influenced, he was at least, you know, introduced to them. But in 1803, Handsome Lake related the story of how in his vision he encountered three men, Indian men, walking toward him with an elderberry branch in one hand and a bow in the other. They walked on a cushion of air. And they said that they worked for another man who was in Creator's land at that time, and he later met that person, and that person looked white to him. It didn't look like an Indian. Well, Joseph Smith was told that that person was John the Revelator, who was rumored to have not tasted death. In other words, been translated. And the Book of Mormon talks about how three of the disciples here in the Americas, the disciples of Jesus, they were the 12 here in the Americas were given the opportunity to choose whether to go into death or to tarry until the return of the Messiah, and three of them chose to stay. So yeah, there's a definite correlation, and there's stories. Used to be they were seen by a lot of people in a lot of different places, but as the Mormon Church has kind of lost a lot of its spirituality, there are fewer and fewer sightings of these men that are referred to as the three Nephites.
Right.
But yeah, there's a definite correlation.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater. Would you think twice about defending yourself or a loved one from an intruder? In this day and age, would you dream of leaving your doors unlocked at night for fear of being burglarized or even attacked or worse? Would you? But when it comes to our own bodies, the doors to our houses are wide open all the time. The very air we breathe and the food we eat, especially here in the United States, creates free radicals that cause us to age and in some cases cause illness, some of which are deadly. Now, for the first time in history, there's a supplement called Protandim that is listed on the U.S. government's PubMed.gov website with many peer-reviewed studies all showing that Protandim is a proven killer of the free radicals that are aging and in some cases even killing us. Now, I'm not talking about killing one molecule of free radical per one molecule of antioxidants like the stuff we've been taking. I'm talking about killing 1 million free radicals per second, per molecule, and this is the very same antioxidant your own body produces. Protandim supercharges your body to create much more than it does without Protandim. There's an old saying that we are warned about in the scriptures. That's the attitude, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So let me ask you, how much money do you spend on food a day? If you're out shopping or at the beach, would you think anything of spending a buck or even more on a can of soda? If there was a vending machine that sold something that killed what was aging you or even killing you, would you even hesitate to spend a buck and a half a day? Well, now there is such a vending machine, and it's sitting right in front of you. It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
This, the correlation to prophecy, is that profound, you know, with the Catholics and the Mormons, which, you know, we know historically as even non-religion theologians study, you know, what they consider, you know, how Jesus...
Absolutely. Yeah, in Mormon lore, you're going to be David W. Patton was one of Joseph Smith's 12 apostles, and he met Cain, says he met a man who introduced himself as Cain, who was about 9 feet tall. Patton was riding a horse at the time, so his eyes would have been about 9 feet, 8 or 9 feet off the ground. And he said this a person had strode up to him, long hair all over his body, smelled of high heavens, and, you know, dark skin.
Bigfoot sighting!
You know, and of course, the Hebrew curse, you know, of Ham was it this person that discovered Noah's nakedness was cursed to have a red eyes and a twisted mouth, and of course Cain's posterity were cursed that they would be vagabonds in the land and supposedly never be killed. Well, you know, no one's ever found one. The body of one, and if you put in the words red eyes and Sasquatch, you find out about 80% of encounters that involve Sasquatch are reported to have, you know, red glowing eyes.
Right.
And
It was his punishment for killing Abel and lying to God, so he wouldn't let him die and was forced to live.
Somehow the two, I don't know how that worked out, but it's just another indication. I've done a lot of studying in Hebrew lore the last few years, and have some good friends that are rabbis that I bounce things off of, and one of them is Rabbi Lazar Brody, and another rabbi who doesn't wish to be named because he's also a good friend. I interviewed him back in 2004 because he was associated with the Sanhedrin, which is being formed up again. But I do have access to and have studied the Torah and those other traditions. And one rabbi in Calder, what's his name? Foster, Rabbi Calder Foster in Shreveport. When I was showing him the correlations between the Cherokee language and Hebrew, he was just stunned, and he says, "Man, you ought to take that act on the road. You ought to just go around and talk at all the synagogues." But John Red Hat was born and raised in the old Cherokee religion, and he converted to in the 1940s to Judaism and became a rabbi. And Rabbi Foster knew him because they were both Air Force officers, and so there's a correlation there also. But John Red Hat the last three Kikmongli or village chiefs at Oribe. Oribe is the oldest inhabited town in North America, and the Hopi prophecy revolves around Oribe. But John Lanza, Mina Lanza, and Chief Mike all recognized that John Red Hat had fulfilled every prophecy having to do with the return of the True White Brother, other than the return of the Sun Clan Tablet. And the Hopi have always said that they were came from the Middle East. One of my first traditional teachers was Zula Brinkerhoff, who's a mixed blood Cherokee. She was the author of God's Chosen People in America, which is all about how similar the Hopi are to the in their dwellings and language. Robert Morning's guy published the similarities between the Hopi language and the Sumerian language. Thomas, I'll think of his last name in a minute. I interviewed him. He wrote a book called The Truth. And his mother, because of her kindness, when the Hopi didn't have a nickel, and they got some money from the government to build a cultural center, but Thomas wrote a book called The Truth, and his mother was given the opportunity to run the cultural center, and he was raised being taken out on the roof at night and was told a lot of things by the Hopi elders, like, if you'll notice, he was told him that they're the only animal symbols on the Giza Plateau directly correspond to the animal symbols that are important to the Hopi religion.
No such thing as coincidence there.
I know Cherokee clan chiefs that were told that when Egyptian artifacts started coming out of the ground in southern Illinois, that they were to stand up and say that the Cherokee were related to Israel. In 1984, the Ketua Society, which is the organization that held the sovereignty for the Cherokee Nation after the Dawes enrollment period, the Cherokee were dismembered. They didn't have a running government, but when they did become federally recognized in 1949, it was the Ketua that had that sovereignty. But those elders in 1984, a tiebreak vote of Chief William Smith, because some of the elders didn't want to bring out the wampum belts and explain. But Bill Jones from KJRH TV did a video that came out in 1984 where Chief Smith explains the wampum belts, and he just says, if you look he's looking at the Cherokee syllabary. He says that there. He says that says that we're Israel Psalmers, and you can see that video at KetuahSociety.org, and we've got that up online. So yeah, there's just all kinds of, and then we've got rabbis like Rabbi Eliezer Brody and others. There's all kinds of rabbis that are looking for descendants of the Northern Kingdom of Israel and other portions of descendants of Abraham. Looking for them actively for many years. And John Red Hat pointed out that the Cherokee is the Creek Indian word for us, which means people of the cave country. But we call ourselves Aniuya or Anikitua in the original Cherokee dialect, which is now dead. The W sound would have been an R, so we would have been Ani Keturah, and Keturah was the third wife of Abraham, and she had two sons, and when Abraham sent them away, he blessed them to be skilled in herbalism and shamanism. And in Hebrew, the word for people or nation is Ami, and in Cherokee it's Ani. So, we're somehow tied in with Abraham's descendants. This would have been, 1,000 years or more before the Sinai Covenant. There's all kinds of things pointing that way.
Wow. You know what we're going to do? We're going to take a quick break, give everybody a chance to take a breath here, and then we're going to come back and, well, if it's all right with you, let's get into the Mayan calendar.
Sure.
The whole understanding of what's behind that, why the calendar ends when it ends, and why these other civilizations throughout the millennium have actually come up with the exact same thing, and how that's even conceivable. So we're going to take a quick break, everybody, and then we'll be all right back to Project White Paper.
Hey guys, Jamie Havoc in here for UFO Mag. If you want to receive the best writing there is in ufology, the best writers, editors, and flat out the best magazine that ufology can offer? If so, I highly recommend UFO Magazine. You can check it out at ufomag.com. And if you mention that you heard this on the radio, you can get 6 issues for $19.95. Check it out, ufomag.com. Don't miss out. And keep up to date on the hottest topics in ufology. For UFO Mag, this is Jamie Hadkin.
An estimated 500 military and government personnel, including civilian contractors, many of which hold top secret clearances, are testifying to the government's suppression of back-engineered, advanced free energy anti-gravity technology, as well as knowledge of extraterrestrials. The NRA has over 3 million members. The ACLU has over 3 million members. Each of these two nonprofit groups are a voice in the affairs of the U.S. government. Join the Mutual UFO Network today. Make MUFON a voice with over 3 million members. Your help is needed today to advance disclosure. Go to www.mufon.com. That's MUFON.com. Join today.
Hello all, Jamie Havokin here for MJsHealthyWay.com. Are you into vitamins, nutritions, meal replacements, and keeping yourself, your internal engine going? If so, I have the perfect place for you, and that is MJsHealthyWay.com. They offer the best service, and they will tell you everything you need and want to know about a certain product. I get my vitamins and meal replacement shakes from MJ's Healthy Way, but there is so much more on the website which you can order. Check it out, mjshealthyway.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
This show is brought to you in part by Dream by the Lake Candles. Always remember to dream.
Hi, everybody. This is Bill.
And Nancy.
And we're on Future Theater Radio live Saturday on the Inception Radio Network.
Yay.
Pink UFO, pink UFO, what truth do you know? What do you know? Pink UFO, what truth do you know? What politicians were coming with the pink UFO? Cause you think we don't know that we're really not alone. And about the cancer here, you've been hiding for years. You don't care about the people, but the money is the fear. People die, children cry, but God.
Welcome back, everybody. We got some fun stuff to listen to, obviously. The music's rockin', and absolutely the information is priceless. What we're going to do now is we're going to start tying in and kind of get into the juicy stuff, the heart and soul of the topic tonight, and really want to basically just ask Blue Water to just start where we could start tying this all together to 2012 and the Mayan calendar and the agreement of, you know, all these religions, prophecies, writings, even oracles. They're all saying the same thing. So can you help us with that, Blue Water?
Well, first of all, I want to say that I may sound like a true believer, but I'm a skeptic. My dad was a professional engineer. My uncle was a Navy captain, engineer too. So I was raised to have an inquiring mind, but an organized one, and I haven't believed in being open minded. So, you know, I'm not one of these woo woo people. Sometimes I kind of make fun of New Agers, but that being said, let's go to the hard science. Now, I don't know if you guys know who Dr. Michio Kaku is, but he's.
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet, all for $9.99, formerly priced at $29.99. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
You want to get an edge on turning back the clock with just a few pills? Who doesn't? Well, it's no longer science fiction, but science possibility, a potential breakthrough. As I found out firsthand, there may be a way to erase years, at least inside my body. Granted, it's down the road, but some scientists are wondering if a new pill I took might offer a very long life.
It may not look like the Fountain of Youth, but inside this nondescript building, I'm about to become part of an exciting experiment, a kind of guinea pig.
Dr. McCord, okay.
I'm here at the University of Colorado in Denver to meet Dr. Joe McCord, a world-renowned scientist.
This is pretty exciting stuff you're finding, huh?
It is. We're very excited about it.
His latest research could very well unravel the mystery of aging itself. And his decades of experiments may have the potential of adding years to people's lives and possibly prevent chronic diseases like cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. It all centers around this small yellow pill, and for me, it begins with a blood test.
There we go.
It wouldn't be the first time I've given blood for this company.
They want to check my levels of something called T-bars, which is a rough indicator of a person's actual age. T-bars can identify a condition known as oxidative stress, a kind of measure of the wear and tear on our bodies. Oxidative stress, like the rusting of an engine, is not a good thing.
Bad for the body.
Leading to disease.
Leading to disease and leading to malfunction and, importantly, leading to what we call aging. It is a slow progression of increasing oxidative stress. That's the main characteristic biochemically of the aging process.
The problem of aging begins with the very food we eat to give us energy. As our cells burn that food, they also release toxic chemicals. Those chemicals, you may know them as free radicals, react with all the components of our cells, literally bombarding them millions of times per second, damaging all our cells. The result? Oxidative stress. And we all have it. The body fights back with a system of defenses. It makes two antioxidant enzymes, catalase and SOD, whose job is to gobble up the free radicals before they can harm our cells.
So, doctor, how often do I take these?
And so, here I go. With that swallow, I've just become part of a potentially landmark scientific experiment.
Doesn't taste bad.
It's called Protandim, and tests on both mice and humans have already shown that it revs up the manufacture of those good enzymes in our bodies. More enzymes, fewer free radicals to harm us. Whether that will lead to longer life is still unknown. Experiments to see if mice live longer are about to get underway, but it's a tantalizing theory.
Right now, all we know is that this preparation decreases oxidative stress. Oxidative stress is not a disease, just like aging is not in itself a disease, but it's something that accompanies and is attached to many disease processes. So you can see the age-related...
Normally, oxidative stress, measured by those T-bars, increases with age. But in Dr. McCord's tests, taking just one pill of Protandim a day reversed that trend for everyone at every age, even for an 80-year-old.
They all are reduced to the level of oxidative stress that one would expect, frankly, in a newborn or a very young child.
Back to the oxidative stress levels of a child? It sounds too good to be true. Will Protandim work on me?
The scientific evidence is there. The pieces seem to make sense. The question is, does this translate into something that humans can take advantage of?
And so, ancient Eastern healing and modern Western medicine may soon be working together. High oxidative stress is associated with more than aging. It's been linked to hundreds of illnesses.
It's at the very center of many diseases. Liver disease, diabetes, emphysema, asthma. I've studied all of these. Strokes, heart attacks. Even mental disease. Yes. Depression? Alzheimer's disease, depression.
Dr. James Crapo with the National Jewish Medical Center in Denver is also researching Protandim for the company.
Are you saying that this could be a cure-all? You're looking at something that will have a small impact, but an important impact.
We make no claims about curing any disease or preventing any disease. We hope that when enough studies are done, perhaps such claims might be able to be made in the future.
Clinical studies to assess Protandim in both diabetes and heart disease should start in 3 to 4 months. But what about my progress? After nearly 2 weeks now, it's time to get my results. Dr. McCord calculates the numbers. The result? My level of oxidative stress has declined dramatically.
45%. That's excellent.
Just look at where I fall on the graph. Before and after.
Which, if extrapolated back, is the level you would see in a newborn baby.
Have we turned back the clock? Well, maybe not on the outside, but deep inside, within my cells, yes, indeed.
Would you suggest I keep taking this supplement?
I would. I can't guarantee it's going to extend your life. I can't guarantee it's going to eliminate any diseases or cure any diseases.
But we do know that oxidative stress is part of those disease processes. And I don't want to wait until I'm 80 years old and find out that I should have taken it.
For more, go to our website at abcnews.com.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Major universities and government agencies initiated and continue self-funded studies following the ABC Primetime Investigative Report you just viewed that originally aired in 2005. These studies continue to reveal more scientific evidence about Protandim's unique benefits. They are published in major scientific and medical journals. The next video will bring you up to date.
Developed after 40 years of research and exclusively for LifeVantage, Protandim is a true scientific breakthrough in anti-aging. Protandim has been reported on ABC, NBC, and PBS, featured in the Wall Street Journal, and described in CNN Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. Sanjay Gupta's book, Chasing Life, The Quest for Immortality. Protandim's creator, Dr. Joe McCord, is a world-renowned scientist and a pioneer in free radical biology. Dr. McCord is the discoverer of the key anti-aging enzyme, superoxide dismutase. His role in the discovery is so significant, the enzyme is measured in McCord units. For Dr. McCord's discovery of superoxide dismutase and his contributions in free radical biology, he was awarded the Elliott Crescent Medal. This medal is awarded to distinguished inventors and scientists, putting Dr. McCord in the same company as Pierre and Marie Curie, Alexander Graham Bell, Orville Wright, and Henry Ford. Dr. Joe McCord has devoted his life's work to the study of free radicals, their role in aging, and the many problems associated with aging. Consumers spend billions every year on antioxidants in the form of food and supplements, hoping to reduce these free radicals. But antioxidants from these sources can only eliminate one free radical for every one antioxidant molecule you consume. Protandim is scientifically proven to slow cellular damage caused by free radicals. Taking one Protandim one time per day for 30 days turns on these anti-aging enzymes in your body. Your own enzymes eliminate free radicals at a rate of 1 million to 1.
I think any other supplements that are designed to be antioxidant supplements probably are no longer needed because Protandim solves that problem in a much more effective way.
Protandim is a breakthrough poised to revolutionize the anti-aging industry. It is an entirely new and scientifically validated way to fight aging, reducing your oxidative stress levels to that of a 20-year-old after just 30 days.
We found, as many other scientists had documented, that there is a progressive increase in T-bars in your blood the older you get. When these same people took Protandim for 30 days, the age-dependent increase in lipid peroxidation was completely eliminated. After Protandim, we could no longer distinguish the 80-year-old from the 20-year-old.
Protandim is protected by 3 U.S. patents. Universities around the world continue to initiate and fund their own studies of Protandim and to evaluate how this anti-aging breakthrough can prevent and improve many of the hundreds of problems associated with aging.
Many academic scientists at a number of universities have begun studying Protandim because it represents a new tool. It represents a way of reducing oxidative stress that wasn't available before. There simply was not a good way of doing what Protandim does. Protandim interacts with the DNA in your cells and causes the cells to make more of a set of genes called survival genes. The ingredients in Protandim were actually selected because they are largely metabolized by the liver, which does not interfere with most prescription drugs, which are generally metabolized by the kidneys. So the general answer to that is yes, it is safe. The immediate benefits of Protandim are within several days, the biochemical markers of oxidative stress begin to decrease. And while these are immediate improvements, you may not sense that these things are happening, just as you can't sense what your cholesterol level is, if it's high or low. But nonetheless, these benefits start happening within days of taking Protandim. The advantages to taking Protandim in the long term are that it protects your body from the relentless progression of free radical damage as we age. The anti-aging aspect of Protandim is one that accumulates over time. So the longer you take it, the more protection you will sustain. Missing a dose of Protandim is not a big problem. It takes about 2 weeks for the effects to go away. So if you miss it for 2 weeks, you're pretty much back to where you started from.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Good afternoon. These are on, I presume. I'd like to talk to you today, and do I have control of these slides, or is I do? Okay. Let's get through these really quick, because this is just because you have to get CMEs, and I have to tell you that I am on the Speakers Bureau for GSK, GlaxoSmithKline, and also a nutritional consultant for an HIV nutritional company named Biosource Therapeutics, which has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today. What I'd like to talk to you about is something that I find thoroughly fascinating. It is glutathione. It is one of the four endogenous antioxidants, and it is one that I must admit, despite 80,000 published articles in the English literature, through medical school internship, residency, fellowship, and a fairly long time in academic medicine, I knew nothing about. It is a very interesting molecule because it exists in an accelerated or increased energy state. The energy state is, or increased energy state, is caused by the fact that it's got a free sulfhydryl group and therefore can easily donate the hydrogen to an electron and therefore quench a free radical. Now, let me tell you, because I think it's important, and it is a little bit of a divergence, but I learned about glutathione because of something that you probably all have seen in your practice, and that is a low uric acid. Now, when I was in medical school and when I was a professor of oncology, the only thing I knew about uric acid is when you had a kid that you were going to treat for leukemia, you put him on allopurinol to keep the uric acid down. I knew nothing about uric acid being low, except it kept appearing, and it appeared in about 20% of my patients, and that just didn't make sense. So I finally went into PubMed, and after stumbling around for a long time, I found out that uric acid is the last antioxidant your body uses when it's run out of everything else. When it's run out of gas, okay, it uses uric acid. Interesting. So if that's the last, the question then, what was the first? And that is where I got into glutathione. I've been coming to some of these meetings for a while, and glutathione is very important for a number of things, not all of which I'm going to go into today. But in point of fact, it has a great deal to do with not only well-being, okay, but aging well, or if you will, retarding the aging process. So I think it's very applicable. I'd like to, at the risk of repeating things that you already know, go over some of the things that glutathione is important about. Alone in the antioxidant world, okay, every other antioxidant, when it becomes oxidized, becomes itself a free radical. Glutathione doesn't. It actually recycles other antioxidants. In fact, the body considers it so important that up to 6% of the entire ATP expenditure or energy expenditure of the body may be used to synthesize and optimize glutathione levels. That's pretty impressive, 6% of the entire energy output of the body. It is also the only non-enzyme antioxidant that doesn't become a free radical, and in fact has a very interesting corollary when it becomes oxidized, because what happens is it complexes to another spent glutathione molecule, and the compound then becomes GSSG, and GSSG has been shown in animal studies at least to promote and induce delta wave sleep. We all know the importance of that in terms of the aging process, so this, even in its used-up form, functions as a very useful product. It not only functions as an antioxidant itself, but alone again in the world of antioxidants, it is an absolutely essential component of antioxidant enzymes, namely glutathione peroxidase and most importantly the glutathione transferases. And I bring that up because glutathione transferase abnormalities have now been associated with virtually every cancer known to man, and probably with a lot more than that. And therefore, by promoting the production of glutathione transferases through improving glutathione, we may be doing even more than I'm able to talk about right now. In addition, if that were not enough, let's keep going. It's a chelator. In fact, it's 50% as effective as oral chelation in getting rid of mercury. It has an effect on other heavy metals, but they're not as pronounced as mercury, and mercury is pretty ubiquitous in an environment, so it kind of comes as a freebie. And it detoxifies organic pollutants, perhaps the best known one of which is the 2-carbon fragment that we know as alcohol. And in fact, without glutathione, you ultimately get a hangover because you stop the process at acetaldehyde, which is phase 1 detox, and that in itself is a free radical, and obviously many of us may have felt the effects of that if we didn't have enough glutathione. Now, why is it important in aging? Well, these are old data, and I think they're probably not as robust as they should be, but I'll give you what is available now. Glutathione levels decrease with age. The data would suggest it's 1% a year beginning in the 20s. I think that's too little, too late, but that's only my opinion right now. I haven't proved it. There are some very interesting things, though. Age-matched normals, okay, reveal that anybody at, say, 45 who's had his first heart attack or has asthma or whatever other disease you want to use has a lower glutathione level than somebody of that age who's well. So disease causes decrease in glutathione and an accelerated decrease compared to normals. Glutathione happens to be, and this is perhaps the take-home message, it's the major protector of mitochondrial DNA. Mitochondrial DNA is that DNA within the cells that's responsible, if you will, for the electron transport chain that produces every bit of energy in your body. And we know from pathologic data that if you take a biopsy from a 90-year-old and compare it to a biopsy in a 5-year-old, the mitochondrial DNA in the 90-year-old is only 5% normal compared to the 5-year-old. So obviously we destroy our mitochondrial DNA, we destroy our energy, and we age. Maintenance of normal mitochondrial DNA is directly correlated, and it's got an R value above 9.9, with aging. So the higher your glutathione, the less you age. And I think
it's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Thank you. Let the truth be known.